Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Delaney out, Malecki in this afternoon for all this morning for Correct Weight. Firstly, let's welcome in Dean Lester to the program. Good morning, Dino.
Hello, Warren.
How was Caulfield yesterday for you?
No, I hit them all over the shop yesterday, so it was a bit of a challenging day on the punt, but a good day of racing and very competitive day and a good showcase of Victorian bloodstock.
Really well patronised on course also, Dino, and I suppose if ever you're looking for a pick-me-up on the way home from the races at Caulfield in recent times, you've been able to tune in to Ascot and check out the Serenity there. She was terrific winning in yesterday. How's the Serenity?
Yeah, that's right. She's been the saviour of a few Saturdays in recent times, Warren. And, she won again, third run for the prep. So, great effort over there in Perth yesterday.
Big weekend for Dan Malecki as I welcome him into the program. Good morning, Dan. Where do we find you this morning?
I'm at Royal Mildura at the moment. Hello, Warren, and hi, Dean, after their Pacing Cup Carnival. But have enjoyed it immensely. And I'm effectively rounding the home turn. I'll be home later this afternoon or early this evening. So I know you've done the form for Ballarat and you, Dean, so I'm going to be relying on you two and listening to your bets on the way home. So I'll need some guidance there because a bit like yesterday, it was a bit of a minefield at Caulfield, Dean. And while I got some winners, the ones that I liked the most were the ones that let me down.
Yeah, there's a lot between good tipping and good staking and good punting. We know that. I'm heading to Ballarat today, so I'd be interested when Dino gives us one or two to follow later on in the day, how they align with my assessment of the meeting at Ballarat. Let's look back at Caulfield. First of all, yesterday, the feature owners and breeders race day was the $1 million showdown.
Hallelujah is the leader coming up towards the corner at the 450 from over Shady. Bellow Bow is looming three wide. Capital Express behind them, followed by Volander. Then Don't Change as Hallelujah left the fence in front. Back behind those horses, Soju Session and King's Consort. 250 out. Hallelujah with Volander the inside over Shady. Bellow Bow, Capital Express and King's Consort. Bellow Bow below the 200 took the front from Volander. King's Consort's flying. Bellow Bow at the 100 grab by King's Consort over the top. King's Consort's going to win it. King's Consort from Bellow Bow Volander and fourth stardom awaits.
Brendan McCool copying the only suspension from the day, Dino, for overuse of the whip aboard Bellow Bow. How did you see the showdown?
Well, it was probably that's the one race that I envisaged quite right. I think that the horses that were proven at 1,200 metres that were going to be strong at the end of 1,200 came to the fore, and King's Consort, even though he's beaten at Ballarat at his previous run, he'd run home the fifth best last 200 of the meeting, and he was always going to be strong late, and that's how it proved. Bellow Bow, he was terrific. Blinkers on, he's probably a little bit keener early, and then he was exposed early, and I thought he was pretty brave to the line, and he ran well, and he's obviously got a nice future. Volander, she was the one that was first up. She trolled really well at Mornington leading in, and you just wondered if, you know, it was going to be a bit much of a task. But ultimately, got a good ride off Ethan Brown, got up the inside and run third. And they beat the rest quite well. First home of the Bendigo Gold Rush was Don't Change, who'd run quite well there. But overall, the figures show that these are the middle-of-the-range two-year-olds, but a massive prize and a massive payday for the connections of King's Consort. And as we heard earlier, Warren, from Brad Taylor, didn't cost much to get into such a high-priced winner.
No, Anthony Friedman just shopping at the bargain basement in Adelaide, Dino. So there's got to be something in the way that, you know, trainers like Anthony, and there's so many of them with conjunction with their bloodstock agents. So horses like this can be found, and that prize money yesterday will keep a lot of the people involved, and some of them first-time owners have had a great experience.
Yeah, and it's too consistent with Anthony buying, King of Hastings by the same sire, and Mummify and Warning all out of the Adelaide sale at not a high price, but just using his eye and buying an athlete, and he keeps doing it.
Dan, would he be buying you as an athlete out of the sale?
I'd say at one stage, perhaps. I don't know about now.
Been at stud too long, Dan.
Yeah, probably. It always makes it a little more difficult. At least in the harness, they're more prone to be able to share those sorts of duties. But as you get to a certain age, there's no turning back, is there, guys?
No. How did you see the show there?
Look, I thought that, you know, that tempo was always going to be there, as Dean said. There was a number of horses with gear changes, particularly the blinkers. We got a few that over-raced. That's not unusual. Some getting the 1,200 for the first time. So it was always going to set up at least a good enough tempo to assist horses that don't mind getting off the speed, the ones that are going to run out the 1,200 strongly. And that was what happened with King's Consort. He was able to get back off a decent and enough tempo, plenty of room to wind up, very strong to the line. And they're geniuses, aren't they, Anthony and Sam Friedman? Their record over the 1,200 at Caulfield with the young horses is exemplary over the last 4 or 5 years. Bellow Bow was right up there. Look, it was covering a little bit of ground, but again, it's only that one turn. It was a good effort. I think he was ridden like the best horse in the race. He looked like he had his chance, maybe a different circumstance, and it could have been a different result because he did go down fighting. Volander saw a bit of the racetrack before the gates jumped, and I thought it was a terrific run from her. The one that I thought was a ripper performance was the longest priced horse in that race in Stardom Awaits, coming from last on the turn and out wide. And although it's been clearly beaten, an improvement on the debut performance and definitely a horse to follow, you would expect a little bit more ground would suit. Some excuses, Hallelujah, guys. Were you expecting it to lead, Dean? Once I saw Hallelujah there, I just thought that with that race shape, it changed and maybe lessened its chances. It capitulated, you know, having to sustain that pressure. So do Session, over-raced early, got into a bit of a restricted room, and Rue de Palais was also exposed very wide out of the track. So Bailey pulled up with some issues, so they got something to work on there. But, yeah, Hallelujah might have surprised me a little bit being in front because of the storming finish last time at Ballarat. Any thought on that?
Oh, I just think went in very with one very quiet trial at Bendigo, and two-year-olds can learn so quickly, and the change in tempo from a 1,000 high pressure to a little bit lesser at the 1,200. I thought she'd lean closer. I didn't think she'd lead, though, no.
Sir Bailey pulling up with an issue, as Dan identified, lame in the left foreleg and a throat abnormality. So a definite forgive for Sir Bailey. And talking to Matty Williams about Stardom Awaits, he thinks probably already a horse that he's looking forward to getting out over a mile or so, Dean.
Yeah, it was quite a good run. I think it was passing tired horses rather than charging to the line. So I think he's got a bit of promise there and can win his share of races. But, the money was great yesterday, but the figures show that these are a little bit off the speed of what you'd say really good class horses.
Good opportunity for Logan McNeil aboard Tokarangi for the Moroni stable in the first at Caulfield yesterday.
For the corner at the 450, two lengths Evening Glory, then Governor Landy, Bel Toro, and then came Pel Doro from Musselbrook, Mr. Tipler, and Tinandali, Beaufort Park. It's Akachita and Vazmi in the running at the 300 metres. Vazmi went to the lead. Evening Glory about two lengths off those from Governor Landy, Bel Toro. Pel Doro needs a run, and then Tokarangi late. Vazmi with 150 metres to go, getting a bit weary, Bel Toro, and Tokarangi under the arches, flashing down the outside and got up. Tokarangi from Vazmi, Bel Toro, and could wait for four with Beaufort Park.
How'd you see the first, Dan?
I saw a bit, sort of a bit messy for a few runners in the home straight, but Tokarangi had that clear running which made a difference. Vazmi was always going to be up on speed with Akachita, who pressed forward in the early part, so it wasn't necessarily the easy, on-tempo, comfortable lead for Vazmi, which could well have made a difference, but he went down fighting. Akachita obviously weakened out of it, in need of the run. Bel Toro, look, he was solid. He's a nice enough horse. Tokarangi, coming from well back on the field, and under the weight scale too, it was a good run from her. We know she can mix it with some pretty handy types, so that was an excellent performance, but an unimpeded run was certainly of great benefit. The two that were clearly unlucky in my mind, Paldoro was more of the obvious of the two, and just had to be throttled down. He had nowhere to go the whole way up the straight. But Beaufort Park was the other one I felt would have absolutely been in the finish and run top three with clear running also. Got out late to make up a bit of ground, but would have been similar to Paldoro to that stage. As I say, Paldoro looked the more obvious of the two, but Beaufort Park's a horse that needs to be just wound up a little bit, get that room. It didn't eventuate. The eye catcher was cool because he had to come around heels halfway up the straight and stretch out really well. Not a surprise he would do that because you know he's no Coulth is going to get back and then find the line. But he did it in a way that you would think next time, as long as he's on a bigger track, the mile or further is going to suit. Mr. Tipler, solid, improves with a run, Evening Glory. Had issues there, Warren, because he pulled up with blood in one nostril. I think the 1400 or strong 1400 was a bit of a query before the race, but I don't know whether we're forgiving of the 1400 with that issue that he pulled up with.
Yeah, it could well be an issue at the end of the 1400, but he will have to gallop over 1,000 metres with blood out of the one nostril there. Your take on the first day?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a long day, Warren, when I'm working on Channel 7 with Richo and Grace Ramich, and they both tipped Tokarangi and I tipped Vazmi. So they had the bragging rights from the very get-go, and it was a good effort. She trialled up really well. If it had been 1400 at Flemington, I probably would have tipped her, but I just wondered how she was going to do it. But she did it well. A bit of class on her side and really hit the line strongly. Vazmi, he's just a horse I really admire. I thought he ran really well. He went at a speed that he can handle. He just got run over late by probably a very good class mare for a benchmark 78. I thought that performance was solid. Del Toro, that's where he's at. He's deep into the prep. I agree with Dan. I think Beaufort Park's the one I actually want to take nearly out of the meeting for the right race. I don't want him to aim up too high or anything, but he was in very much restricted room. Paldoro, he ran out of luck and room at a crucial stage, so we can go right through them. But I think Beaufort Park, with the right run, could win pretty soon.
One via the SMS from Steve, and it's not related to the Caulfield meeting, just regarding Rob Heathcote's runners yesterday in Brisbane. My understanding was that during an inspection, a substance like a supplement that contains cobalt was found, and there'd been a notification that that was a banned substance, and it was found in an inspection at Rob's stable. So I don't think Rob at this stage has had anything that has tested positive, but as a precaution, the runners for Rob Heathcote were taken out yesterday, and there's been an inquiry open, and no doubt there'll be more to come in time, but it was just with a substance that was found in Rob Heathcote's stable that had been a relatively recent addition to the banned substance stable. The stewards elected to scratch the runners, is my understanding, Steve, of the way it transpired yesterday. Dino, do you have any information regarding that incident?
No, the substance was banned in May of last year, so that's a bit of a surprise. It's probably still there, but Rob had missed the notification. That's fair enough. He obviously hasn't been testing any positives to his winners, but it is a banned substance, so they took the precaution. But I was just trying to find the name of the product, but it certainly is a product that I was well familiar with in days gone by. That's for sure.
And it does contain cobalt. Mick Kent has been having a terrific run with Comica, and he had his cheer squad involving the lovely Joan Walker on course at Caulfield yesterday for her to win again.
Comica had them on the stretch around the turn at the 300 metres from Cirileo Misticking. There's a run for Starrell up on the inside if good enough, and Blistering is running on from Brazen Song. Comica at the 200 metres, led a length and a half. Blistering, who's wayward, Cirileo Miss and Starrell. Still Comica. Comica going really well. She's flying at the moment, and Comica won. Comica won again from Cirileo Miss, Starrell and Blistering.
Well, Ethan Brown riding the speed. Good day for Ethan on course yesterday. Dino, what do you make of Comica's win?
Yeah, she was really good. It was a good opportunity that Ethan took up. I think he probably would have gone into the race like most of us, thinking Brazen Song might lead, but didn't break as cleanly as Comica, so he took it up. He rated it beautifully. When you see the sectional times, he just went through it so nice and evenly without going too slow or too fast. And she had a lovely kick off the bend, whereas Cyril Amis started to lay out just before the bend, and you knew then the warning signs were out. To her credit, she ran second. I thought she was probably going to run fourth at the 200-metre mark. She battled on okay. She still hasn't quite, even though she won two starts back or dead-heated, she hasn't quite hit the mark of last spring with her performances, but she ran honestly. Starrell, she's now 1 from 18, but she ran well enough first up, and Blistering is a nice three-year-old filly. She loomed in. She's probably not quite as seasoned and as strong as her rivals there, but still battled on, I thought, really well. But all honours, I think, with the placement of Comica and the ride.
A little bit of pinball activity in the home straight near the finishing line, and John Pascoe's mare Blistering's had a warning placed on her record due to hanging and contributing to that interference that affected Cirilio Miss in particular, and Blistering probably wasn't benefited from that interference also. Dan, your thoughts on race two?
It was just a good ride. That intent in the first probably 100 metres, because Brazen Song went up there very quickly, but also as quickly decided to just sit off Comica. So that section of the race, probably from 50 metres after the start to about 150 metres after the start, they settled down pretty quickly, and it was critical to the end result because the winner's just a really good, confident mare. She's always been consistent, strong through the line. And if she's going to get up and trip, and I'd be very comfortable backing her getting up and trip, she every chance she's going to get that, you know, 14 to 1200 metre section or you know, 1100 to 900 metre section, that's going to always help her because she's the front of the field horse. So I thought she was a dominant winner. As Dean said, Cirilio Miss, she was struggling a bit before the turn. I think you knew your fate, and if you'd backed her each way, you probably wanted to turn away and not watch the last couple of hundred metres, but the way she lifted through the line, she's now looking for that longer trip. She was strong enough through it, so next start, you would think at a mile for her. Starrell, I don't know what we do with her. We can suggest that she was first up and she can improve on the run, and that may very well be the case. I mean, she was solid, and if you hadn't known her record with just the one win prior, you would sort of say she would benefit from the run and still be one to follow, but we know she doesn't win too often. But keeping that in mind, the horses that finished in front of us, Cirilio Miss, who was expected to, and Comica, they were first and second favourites in the market. So they're pretty handy mares, and I think a strong enough form line. Punters might have got the order wrong, but it was the top four on the market that did finish 1, 2, 3, 4. And Brazen Song was clearly much better despite weakening in the straight, but did get into that pinball action, didn't it, underneath of Blistering, who was hanging in on top of it.
I think there is a plan to get Comica up in distance and maybe even head to Adelaide, Dan, so you'll have to keep your eye on the form guides over there and chase a little bit of black type. She's got that lovely cruising speed, well handled, as Dean Lester said, by Ethan Brown yesterday. Ethan Brown was also aboard Chartra in the Sire's Guineas and fitting on Owner Breeders Race Day in Victoria, someone who plays such a role in the owning and breeding landscape in Victoria as Kristen Manning was involved with her partners in the ownership of Chartra.
Matash got into trouble there. Chartra is running on, but enough he said into the straight at the 250 from Chartra, who's lugging in but goes to the lead. Chartra kicked for home. He is eventually out of the ruck with Blushing Tycoon. Don Diego down the outside at the 100. Chartra in front from eventually. Chartra extends. Chartra clear. Chartra won it. Chartra from eventually. Photo third, the claimant.
I think Kristen's mating plans were to the fore in Sydney as well, and great to see Kristen and partners on course yesterday. Nick Lovett, good friend of many in racing, involved in the ownership, Dan, and they got a nice horse in here in Chartra.
They certainly have. Look, I don't think everything's gone to plan for this horse, this preparation. There's been a couple of times scratched, heavy tracks when attempting to venture up north, and there was a gap between runs. But the good turn of foot that he had, when they were coming up to the home turn, there was a number of horses that were off the bit. It more looked like a 2,000-plus race, those horses that get off the bit early and they were starting to grind away. And Chartra just had this really good turn of foot to make up two or three lengths really quickly, still on the bit, and obviously let down well. If anything, got to the front too early, and then probably just was able to stargaze a little bit. So I think there's further improvement to come with Chartra. It was a really good performance. Eventually, I thought eventually he's heading into the right direction here. It was a pretty solid run and really good through the line from from eventually, so she's got a future. And the third horse was the Eye Catcher. The blinkers have certainly made a difference. Still very early on in its preparation, the claimant, one to follow. I'm not getting put off by Don Diego. He just didn't handle that final turn. He just seemed to be all at sea on the bend and uncomfortable. So to still finish fourth and just be nosed out in a photo finish, while disappointing for those that backed him because there was really good support, I can critique that performance and think that he's got to come out of that much better, because he just didn't get around the bend. Two bay sure, not a lot of luck. But I think Chartra and the claimant and Don Diego are horses in particular, and Two Bay Sure perhaps to get another opportunity, but I think they can go on.
Yeah, I tend to agree with your sentiments there. And Dean, you were kicking up for the claimant as a horse who was over the odds at double figures. I don't think he would have disappointed you with his performance yesterday.
No, I think he might have nearly won if he'd stayed in the three wide line early. He went back behind them, and that's when Don Diego was around him and dictating to him, and he just had to wait his turn. This was a real sweet spot race. They went way too hard in front, and $500,000 on offer for, you know, progressive but moderately performed horses, and some of these drawn wide just really turned it on early. Enough, he said. Day and Star first up in the blinkers. They've just gone way too hard the first 800. Chartra was in the sweet spot, and then you had second, third and fourth. They were running third last, second last and last at the 800. So it was a race for the horses sitting back, but the winner was not too close to the speed, not too far out the back. It was just perfect, and he's got a nice amount of ability, and he's shown that now with his two wins and two good prize money wins at Cranbourne and here, and it was a good effort. Eventually, I was surprised how far back she got, because she was at a very fast speed when she won in Adelaide last start. And the claimant and Don Diego are nice horses going forward, to be sure. Had a lot to offer when the race was changing shape, but he had nowhere to go.
Yeah, some significant entries in the stewards report there. And Don Diego, Dino, although it was the lakeside circuit at Sandown, and Pakenham, we've seen him today, Dan referencing that he looked a little bit awkward around that last turn at Caulfield. Would you prefer to see Don Diego on a more spacious flat track?
I haven't seen him get really balanced yet, Warren. He's just an awkward horse. I think even when he won at Pakenham, he looked as though it was good that he missed the start and he had plenty of room to get around them. And he sort of tracked down the hill and around the corner at Lakeside, not too badly. But I think it's just him. He's still very much a learner, and he doesn't know how to put those legs down yet. But he's got good ability, and I think a lot of improvements still to come.
Your overall thoughts, Dean, on how the track played yesterday?
Track was perfect. Had on-pace winners, backmarkers, all came down to speed of race. It's nice to say that. We just spoke of that race where you can logically work out the leaders went too hard. They had to stop. The horse midfield got the run into the race one, and the place getters came from the back. So that's, you know, logically that tells you that everything was pretty well right. But, you know, a horse like Comica was well rated in front and got the money.
Dan, your thoughts on how the way the track played yesterday?
Yeah, indeed. It never come into my psyche, of a bias. I was a little concerned, I guess, after Comica won, because it was sitting away from the fence. But it's not unusual for a Mick Kent trained horse and just to plot that little bit of a path, if indeed there was thought to do that. But no, I didn't have a fear at any stage in any of the races of where the better or worse going was. It was just some of my tips weren't good enough. Some were all right, but some weren't good enough.
Race four at Caulfield yesterday, early markets saw it as a bit of a match race between Grand Slam and Ain't No Deal Done. As we got closer to the race, the market really honed in on Grand Slam.
Danui under pressure on the fence, and then Barry the Baptist uniquely reflect the stars True Impact Royal Crown. But Grand Slam's going really well. Around the corner at the 300 metres, slip them three lengths, Ain't No Deal Done, Agnelli. They were followed by Barry the Baptist, reflect the stars, 200 to go. Grand Slam is still three lengths in front of Ain't No Deal Done, Agnelli. It is over, game, set and match. Grand Slam down to the line is going to trot in. Grand Slam by four or five, Ain't No Deal Done, Agnelli.
Well, Dino, onwards and upwards to the Warrnambool Cup. What did you make of his win yesterday?
I thought that the win was very good. He rolled along at just a very even speed. He's gone a lot faster in races than that, and He had a pretty easy time of it. Ain't No Deal Done had the lovely card on him, but he, as they started to turn at the 500 and Grand Slam, was starting to really quicken it up. He couldn't go with him. And interesting what Brad Taylor said about him maybe being a bit more dour because he's done so much work to, you know, get back to racing, and that they do that rehab preparation. So that explains a lot about him. But he tried honestly. Agnelli ran well, uniquely. And they were the, you know, four of the five four-year-olds in the race. So they were the younger horses in the race. And they've run one, two, three, four. They've come in at fairly good intervals. But Grand Slam's overall figure, very good. Now he goes to the Warrnambool Cup. Still want to see him on the soft ground if it indeed poses that problem at Warrnambool, which more than likely it will. They were in a Cox Plate and a Rose Hill Guineas, his defeats. But he didn't sort of show his brilliance on either occasion.
Dan, how did you see his win yesterday?
Well, he was impressive. Drawn out wide probably doesn't hurt him. Not in a race where he gets a bit of time to work across, because he can get a bit keen, and we've found a lot more about him in the last week or so, and he's a pretty difficult horse to train. He'd been a difficult horse to ride, and Jamie mentioned post-win yesterday that, you know, for the first time ever, it seemed like he was just getting his act together and they got along okay. But he looks like he can still get a bit keen there, but that's him. I think that's going to be as good as they're going to get him to settle. But I just wonder whether the wider gates, Dean, is it something to be mindful of? If he had horses all around him there, because he jumps okay without being pushed, would it be okay from behind and back in the field, or is that little bit of room something to be mindful of going forward?
Oh, I think so. I think any horse that gets on the pace, I don't mind them drawing out at all, because they can do it at their leisure and they're not having to be hunted up and then asked to relax once they get to the spot that they're aiming for. So I would have thought that most on pace or leaders don't mind drawing, you know, too far out drawing out. And he was the perfect case yesterday. He had plenty of time to just roll into his rhythm and get that lovely speed going.
He was able to really glide across, wasn't he, Dan? Is that one of the things that impressed you most about yesterday?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And the way he was strong through the line as well, you could see him getting a fair bit further. He was good through the line. Ain't No Deal Done did look like a mile and a half or further. Agnelli continues to run well up in class. Uniquely out of her grade, she was terrific. But, you know, from a class perspective and even from a future perspective, I think Grand Slam is clearly the one. WT, I thought, was satisfactory. Reflect the Stars will improve with the performance. So there's a few other horses in that race that can improve, but I think Grand Slam's still got a little bit more upside.
Interested in your take on race 5, the Vobis Gold Dash. Talking about being fast out of the gates, there's not many better than Midwest.
Manhattan Force up towards the corner. Midwest is the leader at the 450 from Gimme Par. Then Ice Pick Nick, our Heidi and Scissor Step waiting for a run up on the inside as they run the corner. Midwest kicked away into the straight, led by about a length and three quarters. Gimme Par, Scissor Step stoked up. Ice Pick Nick under pressure, then our Heidi. Midwest at the 150 in front. Scissor Step getting out. Midwest led by a length and a quarter. Scissor Step chiseled away, but Midwest is too fast. And Midwest won it by a length. Scissor Step, Gimme Par for fourth. Ice Pick Nick from...
Good day for the Rosemont colours. Dan, how'd you see Midwest race 5?
It was a good day, but they've had a really good 18 months. The red and white, the gate crasher, he hasn't upset as many parties in the last 18 months as you would expect outside, because those colours are almost the most dominant racing silks going around at the moment. And well done to Mytho and the team there. Look, this horse, there was a bit of element of surprise. I think there was always going to be that query at 1,100 metres for obvious reasons, you know, until they ticked that box. But I didn't realise he was that good. I knew he was quick, but that was the win of a horse that you'd think realistically now could get to an Oakley Plate. He's run half a second quicker than Extreme Choice. Is there a misprint in the times there, guys, or is that correct? Because to the eye, Midwest just looked like he... you know, not quite stacked them up, but they didn't look to be flying. He just can set a brutal pace without look like he's setting a brutal pace. And he obviously finished off the race strongly. And I thought beat a pretty good bunch of horses. Carrying the weight, you know, going through the prep. He's had some of his races spaced, but that was just... a horse with an asset of brilliant speed. He jumps out of the blocks like, you know, he's like lightning, and then he sustained that run. I even got the feeling that it shocked Jamie Carr. He was as strong over the last 100 metres as what he was. Jigsaw, look, he's missed the kick. He gets his act together, he'll be all right. Ice Picnic, good. Gimme Par, good. Scissor Step, good. Winner, much too good. I think they're going to get a really good opportunity at a Group 1 race. The way he's progressing, maybe even a Lightning next year. I know it sounds like big steps, but I was blown away with his performance yesterday, guys.
What do you make of Dan's comments there, Dino?
Well, he took a big leap yesterday. That was the thing. He went top of the weights and 1,100 metres. A lot of different variables, but he is very genuine. He's at the peak of his powers, and you just whilst... he's doing that, he'd be cashing in, and he's going very, very well. And he beat good, talented three-year-olds. Scissor Step, we know well. I've always thought Gimme Par's the best filly in Melbourne, and she, again, was the first filly home. She's competed against the males a few times now, and she's always competitive, and she ran, you know, very, very well. Ice Picnic, a forgivable run, I think. Kieran Maher summed him up perfectly. The rhythm of the 1100 got him out a bit unbalanced, and total forgive. I think he's a very smart horse. And Jigsaw just might be looking off that ordinary start, but a good finish and good closing sectionals. The 12 and further might be more in his keeping now as a gelding. He might be just the precocious two-year-old.
He's got some great attributes, Midwest, Dino, and sets it up early. Was there some element, do you think, yesterday of maybe a school of thought that he was going to be vulnerable late, and it was a question of a number of riders perhaps even just sitting off him, waiting for him to puncture, and it didn't happen?
Yes, I would say that's a fair comment, Warren. I think because what he did lead at, he led below average standard the first 300 metres thanks to daily sectional time. So he didn't, you know, rocket along there, and he just kept increasing, and that was what it, you know, to the average, that's what he did. Scissor Step ran the best 800, second best 600, best 400 of the day. Jigsaw, second best 400, third best 200 of the day. So they had a bit to do, and you know, it is often incumbent on the rider sitting second to, you know, put the pressure on, and Gimme Par was there, and I thought that, yeah, he got away with a pretty easy time of it. But what he's doing better now than he's ever done, Midwest, is that he's using his speed but then relaxing that bit better as well. So, he's just a good winning horse.
We've got one from Herb via the SMS regarding a place all up, or a Formula 1 and 2 win and place. We'll talk about that after we relive the win of Regards Marie for Nick Ryan and Billy Egan.
Shelby 66, Typhoon Harmony Hightail around the corner. The Astrologist about three off the inside running rail. Serious Suspect hard up against the fence. There's a beautiful run for Swats, that if it's good enough. Lombardo presents with Regards Marie. It's still the Astrologist at the 200 from Lombardo, chiseling away, and Regards Marie, the Astrologist grabbed by Lombardo. Regards Marie coming at them both. Lombardo in the shadows just in front. They hit it. Regards Marie dives. Lombardo or Regards Marie, a photo. The Astrologist has run third.
Tight finish, and an SMS regarding Swats that we'll get to shortly when we dissect the race. But Dino, this is Herb from Ballarat, regular contributor. Sometimes it's how you spend your money. My neighbour, who's 88 years old, thought I should have a Formula 1 or 2 win place, Regards Marie and Curran. But no, I had a double all-up place bet. So still collected something, Dino, but Herb's a little bit cursing of what might have been, given the 1 and 2 win and place, given the win dividend for Regards Marie.
Yes, that's true. They both ran very well. And Regards Marie, back to 1,200 metres off a nice even speed, but brought into the race well by Billy Egan, and then toughed it out well late. Lombardo appreciated the more gentle tempo than he got at sale, and I think 1,200 suits him better. He ran well. The Astrologist never runs badly. He was good. Serious Suspect had that weight rise from sale, ran honestly, and Swats, that was the disappointment. You can drop in grade and drop in weight. You've just still got to have the desire to win, and yesterday she didn't seem to have a lot of that in the final 200 metres.
No, Danny from Muraduk echoing those thoughts. At a loss with Swats, that I thought yesterday had to be the day. I was with you, Danny, and couldn't see anything to suggest she was unlucky. Do you see it that way? Could it be that she's heading to the breeding barn? Well, they're all possibilities, Dan, I think. And if you read from the stewards report regarding Damien Oliver's assessment of her performance, Damien Oliver said the mare travelled well, failed to respond when placed under pressure and was disappointing. She said she pulled up well and nothing was detected from a post-race veterinary examination. So a bit of a head-scratcher from a stewards and a Damien Oliver perspective. Dan, how did you see it?
Yeah, and the same here. I thought that was her race. But you could tell at the 400, guys, if you were on Swats, that you weren't comfortable where she was at. Even though she looked like she was in a spot where she should be improving, she was labouring. She wasn't picking up. And, I think you knew your fate a fair way out. You were just needing the leaders to stop, and they didn't look like they were going to stop. And she wasn't doing enough to want to improve her position. I imagine that they're going to still go to Adelaide. Why wouldn't you? And it could be a swan song, but, that word desire was mentioned yesterday. Actually, Matty Stewart brought it up on the program, and I was willing to eliminate that as being a problem, but I think it's at the forefront of our minds now with her. She's been a great mare, but I think it was an opportunity on paper that she didn't look close to taking throughout the course of the run. Regards, Marie, terrific effort under the circumstances. When Billy Egan lost use of the rein at about the 150 metres, you don't come back from that. And then to get the bobbing on the line when Lombardo's head was in front just before and just after the line, sometimes you get a bit of luck out of your way. The astrologist is a brave horse. He's got beaten, about a head on the line. Lombardo, good. Serious Suspect's good. I'm glad that he's going so well. Shelby 66. I know it's easy to say a long campaign. It was always difficult to try to assess that heavy track form. I think most people had put a pen through Shelby 66, and maybe that was the case. He is a wet tracker, but well done to Nick Ryan. Is that this day over the years, it's been one of his best days. He's got a wonderful record, Matt Laurie likewise, and it's good to see those guys succeed on those days. And look, regards, Marie, he's a good horse to freshen it up, come back and treb. It's a wonderful training performance.
Been a real revelation in the training ranks, Nick Ryan, hasn't he, Dino? And just, with regards Marie, who's, a talented galloper, but just freshened up, focused this race at 1,200 metres. He obviously puts a lot of thought into where he runs his horses.
Yeah, well, he can be a hard-going horse, so he needs a fast run 1,400 if he's going to run 1,400. So you don't always get that. But at 1,200, it's a tempo that he can relax at. And it was only a couple of starts back. He was stakes placed at the Valley over 1,200. So it was a good bit of training to freshen up and aim up at this race and get a really good result. And as Dan said, through the deeds of Muhammad Ayas on a few occasions and now regards Marie and a couple of others, this day's been very kind to him.
Damien Lane about to embark on another trip to Japan, left us with a reminder of how good he is in the saddle, bought Imperial Lad in race 8.
Bond peels out 3 wide. There's a lovely run for Adelamore now as Imperial Lad at the 300 metres went for the doctor. Adelamore with plenty of room and time and then no effort, and Sosie Bond to the outside from Junipel. Still Imperial Lad at the 200. 2 lengths Adelamore, Sosie Bond, no effort, Junipel, Imperial Lad, 100 metres to go. Sosie Bond is storming at Imperial Lad. Imperial Lad holding on. Imperial Lad has won from Sosie Bond, 3rd Junipel.
Well, he seemed intent on holding a forward position, didn't he, Dan?
Yeah, certainly did, Damien Lane. There was that little bit of a battle in the first couple of 100 metres, and Damien did as much as he could without overdoing it, with no effort there. And sometimes races are won not necessarily on the line, are they? They can be won at different stages, and I thought that critical area was around the 14 to the 1,200 metres, and in the end, it was just enough to set up an okay tempo. It's not as if he had to go too slow, but he still has something in reserve to kick on the bend when put under pressure and just open up that little bit of a break. And in the end, that was a telling factor, because, we were talking about desire before with Swats that, and that may or may not have been the case regardless. But a horse that was much maligned for not having the desire was Sosie Bond, and yet I want to use the word savaged the line. It might be appropriate for him for past discretions, But he did, and he's got a remarkable record in this race, and I thought he was terrific, getting so close at the finish. Juniper, I just wonder, look, he was okay. He didn't look like he was going to win from the 400 metres, but I reckon all he wants is just, if he can get a soft five, if he can get that toe into the ground, it's going to make a difference for him. He's fit enough now that I just reckon he wants that soft five. Doesn't have to be too wet, but something that's got that give, and I reckon he's a length or a length and a half better horse in those conditions. No effort was of concern. She was there battling on okay, and then she just, well, she almost stopped, didn't she, at the 80 metres. So I hope all is okay with her. She would have finished in the featured in the steward's report. A degree of mucus there, Warren, affecting her performance. But the way she stopped at the 100 was of concern.
Yeah, well, that's when the pressure goes on. So you'd probably cut her some slack with that being detected with a post-race scope. And she does require veterinary clearance prior to racing again. How do you see the second last day?
Yeah, it was a magnificent ride, Warren. Simple as that. Imperial Lad, if you told me he was going to win, you know, he's won at a mile and he's run well in a Kilmore Cup at a mile, but you'd think it'd be a gentle tempo. He didn't go berserk, but he owned the race and he set it up that he took the sting out of it. And you know, the fastest last 200 metres of the race was Sosie Bon at 12.02, so nothing broke 12 seconds the last 200 metres. So he really did take the sting out of his rivals and then had to just hang on late, and he did. And, well, he'll be doing a lot of fast riding in Japan in the next couple of weeks. He's got his eye in for that with the Imperial Lad. Sosie Bon, I thought, was absolutely fantastic. He didn't win, but he ran as well as he could. Juniper is, I'm sure now, as he's got older and he's had issues, a soft tracker at least, maybe even a wet tracker. So just want to see him get on the right sort of ground. He might have to head north with the travelling roadshow of the Mar Eustace horses that are having success on the wet ground in Sydney. Adela Moore ran really well, considering where she was in the handicaps and that against these older horses. And Gracias Amigos, likewise, only a 76 rater, but carrying plenty of weight, ran well, no effort. When it's mentioned in the steward's report that mucus is a grade 3 or worse, so that's a severe amount of mucus detected. So that certainly would have affected her performance.
Extreme Warrior was expected to run well in the last. We got an SMS comparing the performances of, or asking Dino and Dan to compare the performances of Midwestern Extreme Warrior in the Rosemont colours. Extreme Warrior with Jamie Carr aboard as well went around in the last as a favourite.
Of Mercy led the favourite coming up towards the turn at the 400. Extreme Warrior three quarters of a length away, second from Innkeeper General Bowen, bless her. Behind those Current, It's Our Time wider, and then Pandemic Romance are not an option, and La Mexicana. Sword of Mercy at the 200 metres. Extreme Warrior giving strong chase though. Extreme Warrior moves up and takes Sword of Mercy from Bless Her, General Bow. It's Our Time. Extreme Warrior under the whip is going to dart away. Final favourite one. Extreme Warrior scored by about three quarters to a photo. It's Our Time, Curran, and then General.
Exactly three quarters. Well done, Matty Hill. It's Our Time, Curran, General Bow in fourth. Dino, your thoughts on the last?
He got the job done, Extreme Warrior. It was a very slowly run 1,100 metre race, Sword of Mercy. It looked as though there wasn't a mad leader in the race, so Sword of Mercy led it at just an even speed. Extreme Warrior was right onto that. They quickened up a little bit through the middle stages. It was more of a 400 metre dash, hence a very bunch finish, but Extreme Warrior got the job done. In comparison to Midwest, the times were spot on, about half a second difference. So, but a totally different race structure, and I thought that he got the job done, and that probably the perfect race, thinking that he's a month out, that from a race like the Goodwood that they'd want to build off, because he didn't have much pressure until the 400 metre mark. Extreme Warrior, he came home in reasonable sectional times. It's Our Time, second best last 200 of the meeting, and Not an Option ran seventh, ran the best last 200 of the meeting. So even though he's finished down the track, he's probably galloped as well as he did in the Hariba, just a different race shape.
Your thoughts here, Dan?
Yeah, well, that critical element was the tempo. I mean, everything was really good through the line, bar La Mexicana, and you know, I know she was wide on the home turn, and she dropped off. She was probably just poor on the day, but everything else was good. Even William Thomas at the back there, and you mentioned Not an Option, Romance, they were all good through the line, but they were entitled to be as well, to run home these quality open class sprinters, and that's why there wasn't a lot between them at the finish. And the winner being first up as well, had that gap between the trials, was obviously a little bit of a setback and then a brilliant trial, but it's still no easy feat to beat the open class horses with that limited experience, as good as he is, but was able to dominate up the home straight. It didn't look like he was going to get beaten, but that was more the race shape. So he can improve off that. To the eye, I mean, Midwest looked more impressive to my eye, maybe because in some part wasn't expecting him to run out the 1100 as strongly, whereas Extreme Choice, you were expecting him to dominate and running out strongly. So he'll improve off that. I think he's still got a couple of lengths left in him, but he's going to have to get to that next level, whereas the runner-up, It's Our Time, who has been most consistent. There are plenty of options, obviously, coming up, whether it's in town, or would a logical step be the Wongoom guys for a horse like It's Our Time?
That's interesting. Danny O'Brien's targeted that race previously, Dino, and just checking It's Our Time's ability to handle rain-affected ground. He's won on soft. He hasn't been exposed to heavy. I suppose progressing on to a race like the Wongoom wouldn't be out of the question for It's Our Time, Dean.
Yeah, I'd be thinking that they'd be more, I don't know, but maybe more Adelaide-bound through the older horses, the DC Mackay and the three-year-old, maybe through the what's now called the Tobin Bronze, formerly the Euclays, formerly had a lot of names over the years. Yeah, it used to be the Champagne Plate or something. So that race certainly might come up well for Extreme Warrior and then onto the Goodwood. So, they've got a lot of options. But, yeah, the Wongoom would fit in well for It's Our Time, but he's getting himself into the serious ranks with some really good performances.
Great days racing at Caulfield under terrific conditions for this time of year, Victoria Owners and Breeders Race Day. Some stace racing at Adelaide. Want to touch on the Frank Conlon Memorial at Kyneton before we hand over to Dan Malecki, Sunday Central, after this break.
Correct Weight, brought to you by Tabs The Lock. Activate to get Tabs' best starting price guaranteed. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
Law's Revenge, Shimino, and Trekking's got a heap to do. Bella Vella kept going at the furlong. Instant Celebrity powering through. Bella Vella still, though, from Instant Celebrity. Then Dexalation. Bella Vella, Instant Celebrity's digging deep, driving at Bella Vella, who held on to win. Bella Vella, narrowly from Instant Celebrity. The mares have fought it out.
Well, she's been a terrific story right throughout her career, Dino, provided a lot of fun for a lot of connections and part of a good day for Rosemont now in the ownership of Bella Vella.
Well, yeah, she's been handed around over the journey for different prices, hasn't she, Warren? And she's a remarkable horse, Bella Vella, and didn't get in foal, back to the track yesterday, and she just wanted the win. It was a really brave performance. Instant Celebrity, who was coming off surgery, ran well, I think. Philip Stokes virtually said that she'd want to show up or she'd be retired. Well, she showed up. I think she did more than enough. Dexalation, Shimino, that's about where they're at in Trekking. I thought he trialled spectacularly well at Flemington last Thursday week and thought he could win yesterday. He missed the start. All Glenn Schofield wanted to do was angle out, and all the race did was open up to his inside. So I think it was a bit of a forgive for Trekking. He got beaten 2.5 lengths, but a bit of a non-event for him. But the mares were certainly well to the fore.
Thoughts on the Irwin Stakes, Dan?
Yeah, very similar to Dino. I mean, they're great results. You want to see the positivity coming out of stories like that with both of those mares and fighting out the finish. But I thought it was an opportunity lost for Trekking. I think our fate was sealed when he came out of the gates and got beaten. But in a small field like that, when there was so much room to the inside, look, I doubt he would have won anyway, but I was really disappointed with him. I know he's done it before and he's bounced back Trekking, but well done to the team with both the mares and Bella Vella. A lot of emotion involved there, but not the only race yesterday filled with a lot of emotion, Warren.
No, Dan, no, and we'll get to that shortly. We'll talk about the Redelva. That was a lovely segue into the race at Kyneton, and I'm really keen to dedicate a little bit of time to your guys' thoughts on that, the fabric of racing on show at Kyneton yesterday. Champagne Dreams fought off the locals in the Redelva Stakes, and the outsiders, the challengers, Bacchanalia and Heresy. James Cummings gang-tackling the Redelva. Champagne Dreams held them all off.
Manhattan Times is hunting through on the rail. He's taking the shortcuts home. Magic Max gets to the outside. They spread up. Champagne Dreams are half in front from directed. Champagne Dreams clear from direct. Bacchanalia is one pace. Manhattan Times the rail. Then Serides. Champagne Dreams kept going here. Serides running on with Manhattan Times. Champagne Dreams trying to find the line and gets there. Champagne Dreams from Manhattan Times. And
well, could be a few here onwards and upwards to the Tobin Droms, the Uclays, its current name title. Dan, what did you make of this?
Oh, it was a gutsy performance by Champagne Dreams. There looked like there was a number of winning chances there. There's not a lot between them, but, there's been a lot thought about Champagne Dreams, so it was actually probably surprising got it to $10, but such was the depth or the evenness of the field. Number of horses there, I think you could still continue to follow and give them opportunities as they get up to 1,200 metres, they might be able to turn the tables. Bacchanalia, he's going well, and it was still a pretty solid performance, but we got used to all of his racing and his best form on wet tracks, and I wonder if that was the difference in him yesterday. He was up close to the speed, looked to have every possible chance, so if he's able to get a bit of wet ground, he might find that extra length or two needed to turn the tables next time.
Thoughts, Dean?
It was a strange race. They used a lot of the track here, Warren. They were spread right across, and Champagne Dreams just kept going. It was a good effort. Manhattan Times cut the corner and ran well. Serides ran honestly, but for Champagne Dreams, for people listening from the Greyhound Code would know Ray Border very well. Macro Meets, and he's a massive owner in Greyhound Racing. He's a part owner of Champagne Dreams, so he does have other codes interest as well, and he's raced horses with good success in these colours for a long time. Zip Zip Array won a good one, and Champagne Dreams has done a good job to win yesterday. I don't know what to make of the form of the race, though, Warren, because so many of them lost their spot. Magic Max got too far out of the race. The speed spread them out. Extreme Flight, it was a massive go for Extreme Flight. It was about $17 into $8. Just got in a terrible spot and virtually ran off on the home turn. Got beaten seven lengths, but just don't know, where it fits in. Like, when it won at Sandown, it easily beat Manhattan Times. So you could say that Extreme Flight's in that form reference, but he was just in the wrong spot yesterday.
If you get a chance, have a look at the replay of race three at Kyneton yesterday. The emotional victory that Dan Malecki was referencing was Tommy Conlon saddling up, Zip It Up with Dean Holland aboard in the Frank Conlon Memorial.
Special, so is Red Line. Then Spoken, Lady of Doing an Iron One starting to run on into the straight. Zip It Up's got a good break. Surely Special sticking to its work, and then followed wider out on the track by Iron One, who's coming down the middle with Lady of Doing. But Zip It Up, race clear, and this is going to be a special race for the Conlons. Zip It Up is going to bolt in, wins the Frank Conlon Memorial easily from Markle.
Well summed up there by Rick McIntosh and Dino. Tommy Conlon, a good trainer in his own right here in the ranks in Victoria, but a great man on the barriers, so well known in racing, and Frank Conlon so well loved throughout racing, and an unfortunate incident taking Frank from us in the last 12, 18 months, and great to see the club honouring Frank with that race. I think the second time it was run yesterday.
Of course, yeah, Frank and Jim, when I was growing up, they were originally at Cranbourne, and Frank was foreman for Jim, and they had great times with Excited Angel, and then they went their separate ways, and Frank, trained winners in his own right now. That was great. Amazing how racing has a knack of doing that and getting it right, and Zip It Up providing Tom Conlon with a very special win.
It wasn't a Melbourne Cup for Dean Holland, Dan, but it was a very special win for him. You could see the bond and the love within the industry and the joy it brought Dean when he crossed the line.
Oh, no doubt about that. And it was looking obvious at the top of the straight. It was a pretty comfortable win in a way. So the emotion would have been, it was soaked up over the last furlong, definitely. And, sometimes racing's more than just about having a bet and horses, isn't it? There's a lot more to it. And it can be inspiring and appropriate. And I think yesterday it was.
Yeah, well done to you, Tommy. And thoughts with you, the family. A special day yesterday. Time for the boys' runs of the day. Horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
We'll start with you, Dino.
Run of the day, I'm going to go with Midwest. As Dan said, it was a pretty comprehensive win, and he's just going great guns. And I'm out of the first race. I think provided he's placed in the right company, Beaufort Park is very, very close to a win. Didn't get a lot of luck or room when he needed it yesterday.
Thoughts on Ballarat today, Dean, if I can ask you there?
I'm going a bit of a Rama Ruffy on a Sunday here, Warren. I'm thinking race four, number 12, Celtic Glory's got a good chance. It was absolutely in the no-go zone at stall last week. If you weren't on the fence, you weren't in the race at stall last Sunday, and she was six and seven wide the whole way around the turn. I think she can improve sharply at a good price. Race four, number 12, Celtic Glory.
Heavily backed at stall, and I think the blinkers go on today. So there's one, Dean, and a bit of odds. And, gee, someone's trying to stretch the friendship here, Dino. We'll be having a panel tomorrow morning looking at Flemington. Is there anything for anyone who wants to shop early at Flemington?
Oh, geez, if you like something today and you want to just have a bit of a multiplier into tomorrow, you'd have to think Elegron's going to be awfully hard to beat in the St. Ledger. He's run placings in two derbies to Hitotsu. These horses usually come to the St. Ledger and win. And, I mean, we spoke of the great training effort of Mar and Eustace. Elegron only had one more run leading in. He went from the Guineas to the Derby, so you'd still think he'd have petrol in the tank. I think $1.90. I thought he'd probably come up $1.70, $1.65, but $1.90 seems all right.
Great work, as always, Dino. Look forward to joining you tomorrow morning to preview that meeting for Anzac Day.
Terrific. Thanks, Warren.
Dan Malecki, how do you sum up yesterday?
Yeah, I like Midwest. I thought it was the run of the day as well. It was career best performances and maybe even a springboard onto bigger and better races. And I was thinking to myself, Dino, I reckon he'll go one of two ways. And I thought in my head, if he goes one way, I'm going to go the other. Not to say I don't support Beaufort Park. I was on it yesterday and it's definitely ready to win. But I think the Claimant is the one that you want to be on going forward over a little bit further in trip. So the Claimant, my horse to follow on the run of the day, Midwest.
Yeah, great work, Dan. Looking forward to the next couple of hours of Sunday Central. Grand Slam was my run of the day, and I'm with Dan with the Claimant as the horse to follow. That takes it out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned for Dan Malecki with Sunday Central after this sports update with Andrew Hughes.